Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we welcome Patrick Kelly. Patrick is a Jesuit priest, a professor, and an absolute gem in the world of Christianity and sport. He's authored multiple books, articles, and book chapters on sport and faith, so much so that he works in collaboration with the Vatican offices about the topics of sport and spirituality. We are very grateful and very excited to speak with Father Kelly, so let's get started.
Well, we're so excited to have Patrick Kelly with us today. Pat, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Well, when I was growing up, I loved playing sports. It was, I know everybody enjoys different things, but I, as a kid, you know, I would play basketball down at the schoolyard for, you know, lose track of time, forget to come home for lunch. throw a ball against the wall, catch it with my glove, a football down at the, and then later I played for the St. Valentine Volts grade school team in the Catholic Youth Organization in Detroit. Played football and basketball and baseball, and then in high school ran track a couple years, but played football and basketball for 4 years. And then I played out there on the west side of the state of Michigan, played football at Grand Valley State University.
Kind of a couple of quintessential characteristics of, you know, you got the American Big Three and playing as a kid. That's an excellent start for us. Tell us about faith in your life.
So, yeah, I was raised Catholic. And so actually, in a lot of those, what I was just describing about sports was intertwined with, you know, Catholic school. So, mass, and then the high school I went to was Catholic as well, for me, they were just in terms of, you know, the experience of it, sports growing up, they were, the Catholic faith and sports were very much of a piece, and, you know, and then I played, and I, in the league we were in high school was the Catholic High School League, so. When I was in college at Grand Valley, I started going to Bible studies on campus. I started going to some of the Protestant services on campus, and that was really important for me. It really it was part of my kind of coming to. Also, I think I was a college student, so I teach college students now, so I know that. The traditional age college student is kind of trying to find his or her own way and if it's a faith tradition that they've been raised in, you know, what does it mean to them? How are they going to be either living that out or, you know, finding some adjustments, things like that. So I think I was going through that kind of process at that time. And, I became actually very interested in learning about my faith, religion more broadly. And so I went to the University of Detroit for 1 year. That's a Jesuit school. I didn't know what a Jesuit was at the time, but I ended up taking all religion classes and got a degree in religious studies from there. That was the happiest year up until that point of my life. And it was, you know, not just by degrees, it was like a quantum leap into another realm of possibility in terms of happiness and joy. And I, I did a retreat in the middle of that year, and I had a profound sense of peace thinking about entering the Jesuit novitiate. I didn't do that, right away. I taught high school for a couple of years. I coached football and basketball down in Monroe Catholic Central. And then I went and did a master's degree in theology, taught some more, and then I entered the Jesuits when I was 31 in 1991. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I missed it, Pat, but I didn't realize that you played football for Grand Valley. That's a new thing for me. I also didn't know you did a one-year stint as in a Jesuit school, and it was the best year of your life. I think we ought to go ahead and just require that for all of our students. Everybody, one-year stint among the Jesuits. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. So I wonder if you could tell us one thing. You've already told us some unique things, but tell us one thing about yourself that it may be a little unusual, a little off the beaten path, that would help our listeners get to know you a little.
Yeah, well, when I was thinking about this, the thing that came to mind is going to take us further down this Jesuit path. But this is kind of unusual in the Jesuits. Maybe not, doesn't make me unique among human beings. But I was born on July 31st, which is the feast day of Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuits. And that's something I didn't know that myself until, I didn't know that was his feast day. Until I had already, you know, applied to the Jesuits, maybe even entered the Jesuits. But anyway, it's meaningful to me because I very much feel like I, you know, right from the start can relate to his life story. He had a leg broken with the cannonball, and that was a kind of a turning point in his life. I broke my ankle right before my senior year in high school, a few days before our first game. And that was a kind of a significant thing in my life. But then also just the spirituality over time, you know, I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and unique connection, St. Ignatius, and just, you know, your birthday being tied to really your calling. You didn't realize it, but you had no other choice. You were on your path probably from the start.
Yeah. Well, I like to think that there's still some freedom involved, but it's, you know, formed from our mother's womb.
And there you have it. So as a Jesuit and a scholar, I wonder how you got into or how you started thinking more intentionally about sport and about sport and faith, and what sort of launched you in that direction?
Yeah. Yeah, so what happened in my 20s, I was trying to, you know, take my Christian faith more seriously, trying to live it out. And there was a part of me, even though I coached high school for a couple years, there was a part of me that felt like I should put aside childish things, like St. Paul says, you know, like, because, it, you know, and then get on with the adult things of being a person of faith. And I realized over time that that didn't work for me. And I think it's because I was so profoundly shaped as a human being, formed in some good and maybe in some not so good ways by my participation in sports, that was all affecting my attempts to live the Christian life in the present anyway. So, to proceed as though I had two separate unrelated lives wasn't going to work and didn't make sense. And so then, actually, when I made the spiritual exercises retreat as a Jesuit novices, that was really crucial for me. That's a 30-day retreat. And in the beginning of it, you're invited to pray over, you know, how has God been present in your life, in the whole of your life? And so that brought me back to my youth and in that way back to experiences playing sports. And so I began to think about, you know, I began to think about my life in a different way. And you know, I was kind of saying, well, God was really, maybe God was present in those, in a lot of those experiences that I had. And so rather than just reject the past, and by the way, there's a kind of dualism implicit in all that, you know, that had to do with the body and passion and joy and, you know, and the spirit, living the Christian life has to do, you know, doesn't have to do with that stuff. It has to do with the spirit. And so what I started doing, instead of just putting it all behind me, was to start to think about what are the ways in which I, you know, as a person, first I was thinking about this just personally, how was sport participation, you know, helped to me in terms of well-being, my growth, my, you know, being part of something larger than myself, developing maybe some virtues along the way. Also the connection, you know, there was, as I was saying earlier, there was a connection to prayer and spiritual life in that. So looking at that, like, okay, so what was that? And then on the other hand, are there ways in which my participation in sport, the way I think about myself, my, you know, my value, my, are there ways in which it kind of was diminishing, or maybe there were values present that are contrary to the gospel values? I think one that I think of that is right off the bat would be the kind of notion that your value comes from winning, you know, or or being successful, or, you know, and I think that it's that one right there that has a significant effect on your attempts to live the Christian life. Because if you're still carrying that around with you, I mean, you know, and we all, maybe all do to some extent, even to this day, you know, but it's not an accurate way of understanding who we are as human beings, created in the image and likeness of God and loved by God and, you know, forgiven, and that our worth and value doesn't come from our own achievements. So I started looking, then I started studying these things more academically. And then eventually I was able to study, I did my doctoral studies with Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, the psychologist out of Claremont Graduate University. I was in theology and culture, but he was on my committee. I did several independent studies with him. And I think his research is very fruitful, a great resource for understanding the lived experience of participating in sport with respect to the positive side that I was referring to. You know, why is it enjoyable? How does it lead to growth, self-transcendence, you know? How is it possibly open out onto spiritual values?
So I want to build on that. One of the first things I had to read in my PhD program was Csikszentmihalyi writing about the flow state. And it seems like such a seminal piece of academic work related to sort of the lived experience of sport, play, but I don't know that I've ever had a conversation with anybody that has studied with him. Can you talk a little bit about his influence on your work or your thinking about sport and culture, sport and theology?
Yeah, and just to say, maybe just to start, he was very, you know, he's quite well known and you know, an important person in terms of his field, but he's very down to earth and human, and was wonderful to me, you know, as far as being a supportive and to all of his students, his doctoral students. So he's a wonderful person. He passed away a few years ago, unfortunately. Yeah, I think, so for me, I think what happened, a Jesuit introduced me to his research. And when I first read the you know, the research having to do with the flow experience, it was one of the first times where I felt like, okay, somebody is actually putting language to things that I've experienced all my life and that were actually some of the most important things I've experienced. And so it was really, you know, significant. And And so, yeah, so then I ended up being able to study with him. I noticed right from the start, and he himself says this in his first article, Play and Intrinsic Rewards, that there are experiences that people have, in addition to play, that he's going to give examples of play, you know, in creative activities or pursuits, or in, he said, ends up saying something like almost any form of religious experience, you know, meditation, ritual, etc. And so I noticed myself similarities. I was being, you know, in the in formation in the Jesuits, I was learning about our spirituality, and I was noticing similarities between the way he describes flow and the way Ignatius of Loyola describes spiritual consolation, which is a central reality in the spiritual life for him. And so they both have to do, they're analogous, so they're not, I'm not saying that they're, you know, there's differences too, but they both have to do with joy, enjoyment. There's a kind of effortless feeling. So for Ignatius, for a person who's going from good to better, trying to grow in the Christian life, experience God's presence, if a spiritual consolation, he says it's like coming into your own house through an open door. It's gentle and easy, like a drop of water falling into a sponge. Well, the people who describe flow describe, it's, you feel like you're being carried along by a current, you know. But in both cases, this is preceded by discipline, you know, a practice. You know? So for the in flow in sports, it's, you know, if you're right-handed, you want to shoot a left-handed layup, you have to practice it, listen to what the coach says about what foot to go off of and how you have to do it over. But then over time, it you know, you do it for a year or so, and it becomes like you know, effortless kind of thing, like you've been doing it your whole life. And similarly with Ignatius, in the spiritual exercises, one needs to pray and reflect on one's life and, you know, contemplate the life of Christ in the Gospels, want to come to know and love him more intensely, follow him more closely. And so that's all very needed. But then over time, we develop a sensitivity to God's Spirit in our life and this feeling of spiritual consolation is this kind of, you know, being carried along by a current. You're going in a, because my spirit, small letter S, is in sync with the Holy Spirit at those moments. So there's, okay. So anyway, I was very interested in that. And I also think this is rich because you can also bring other spiritual or religious traditions into conversation with the flow material. In one of my classes, we read Phil Jackson's book, Sacred Hoops, where he talks about introducing his players to Zen meditation. And in a way, he doesn't know of Csikszentmihalyi, it doesn't seem like, even though they're in the same city in Chicago. He never mentions flow, he's illustrating flow on every page, you know, beautifully. But he's doing it in such a way that I can introduce the students to meditation, you know, and then we sometimes meditate in class, you know. And so they kind of introduced to that. Maybe I'll just say that my experience has been in teaching this material that the students have the same reaction that I had, and also coaches. That is to say, they seem to really appreciate the fact that we're reading about something in class by a scholar that actually is naming really important things that they've experienced all their life. You know, so they, it's kind of a matter of being seen, you know, almost like, oh, I'm, you know, what's important to me is being noticed. And anyway, and I think that has to do with bigger issues about what we as academics pay attention to and don't pay attention to, you know. He's paying attention to embodied experiences of play, you know, and both of those, body and play, we might not have paid a lot of attention to, you know, whatever, in recent decades, century.
No, and I think a lot of us can remember when we first read the same thing or the same bits of work by Csikszentmihalyi and having that same sort of ratification. You know, this is a feeling that somebody important, somebody who has really, earned some accolades on the academic side, giving voice to something that we had a harder time, articulating. And then from there, making a bunch of connections that, for a Christian, that seemed really natural, that seemed appropriate. And yet we're always faced with these conundrums, right, in sport, and we're trying to figure out, you know, is this really what it is? Is this my fleshly nature? What's pulling me in this direction? Is it transcendent? Is it not? You know, these are sort of the things that we wrestle with, and maybe that's what we're meant to wrestle with. And I wonder with you and your, you know, you have a sustained history of studying these things, teaching these things, and you've been an observer and a participant in sport all these years. I wonder, as you look back over your time and maybe look at your time now, would you say that we're in some ways making progress in this area in terms of like understanding it, working against maybe a dualistic sense? Or would you say, you know what, I think maybe sport has gotten away from us in some ways. I don't know if I asked that question rightly, but I'm going to let you run with it.
Yeah. Well, I think so my own work, you know, in terms of Catholic, the first thing I wrote was Catholic Perspectives on Sports from Medieval to Modern Times. But Protestant scholars like yourself and many others had been writing about, you know, Protestant traditions and sport much longer. Well, I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, kind of like a book in that sense. I mean, Nicholas of Cusa in the, you know, 15th century wrote a book about ball games, and Thomas Aquinas writes about play, etc. You know, but in terms of the contemporary context, and in the Catholic context, things are developing as far as reflection happening, you know, about this aspect of culture. I mean, I could say more about why that is. It has to do with the Second Vatican Council in some ways, and you could talk about that. And then, you know, it's been wonderful to have the conferences that we've had, and I know I missed the one at Calvin that you had recently, but where, you know, people from Catholic, Protestant, other traditions are gathering and reflecting, or the book that I think we all had contributed to, Sport and Christianity Practices for the 21st Century. So in that sense, there's progress with regard to reflection on this aspect of culture. So, and it was interesting to me that book, Sport and Christianity, that I just mentioned, that there was a lot about play in that book. You know, I think you wrote a chapter about envy, I think. But I also remember I think the two of you did a presentation was it in New York about play? And
did play and rivalry. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So I really appreciated that. I think I remember Cheryl Hoffman was there, and he stood up and talked about the importance of what you were doing. So anyway, that's kind of an interesting thing to me. And in my new book, I point that out, that in some ways, it seems like, let's just say Catholics and Protestants in terms of this topic, are now, it's kind of like play has become something to dialogue about, you know, and that theologians in the different traditions are recognizing it's important to, emphasize. And so that gets me to the other point that I wanted to make, because you asked, are we losing it? Because I do think, I've been reading some and listening audiobook recently by Michael Sandel. He's a political philosopher at Harvard. And he writes about in 1980, but then, you know, up until our time, we moved from having a market economy to being a market society. And by that, he means more and more parts of life are evaluated in market terms. And he says, when this, you know, when this happens, it can crowd out non-market values that are worth caring about. You know, like the goods of a practice or the common good. And I think in sports, you really see this. I mean, you see it in youth sports with regard to, you know, the kind of viewing it more and more as a means to the end of a college scholarship or some other, you know. And so kids specialize in one sport. Now, more in my time, that wasn't happening. And other things, so things, you know, overuse injuries are now a real problem because of the early specialization. But just the whole, that whole way of approaching things is instrumental, you know, it instrumentalizes the activity. So rather than play would be something we do because we enjoy it, you know, we do it for that reason, for its own sake, we might say. And it has internal goods, you know, or intrinsic rewards. But the dynamic that's going on more broadly in society seems to be shifting things more in this other direction. And then, you know, with regard, you can see this too with regard to intercollegiate athletics. So where external goods drive so much of what's going on, you know, the conference reorganizations were all driven by television dollars that come from football. And so, you know, the human experience of participating in sport and the human significance of it and how it can lead to growth and development is kind of secondary. You know, a lot of the women softball players and volleyball, you know, on the West Coast started posting on TikTok and said, hey, wait a minute. You know, we play like on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Are we going to be traveling to Boston, you know, and we'll miss the whole week of school? And it's kind of, you know, so I think there are things going on more broadly in society that I would be concerned about in terms of they move away from the human person, looking at what's the experience of the human person and what's the good of the human person, into other, you know, other directions. And then people who, like myself or others, like you, like yourselves, who work in educational institutions, where that, you know, where people are playing sports in that, those contexts, in an educational framing, those are fundamental questions you have to ask, you know. What is this activity anyway? What's its human significance, cultural significance? How is it related to the growth of the young people who are involved in it? So maybe I'll stop there.
Let's keep going. Yeah, stop there. But I might ask this. You've done work in youth sport. You told us before we started recording that you don't consider yourself to be an expert in youth sport, but you've worked in some consulting and you've done some writing, and certainly you've thought deeply about sport and its many different instantiations. What might you say to an audience that asks you about youth sport? And maybe you're building on some of the answer you just gave, but what do you say? How do you distill down the work that you've done, the thinking that you've done, the writing about sport and theology? What might you offer to the world of youth sport?
Yeah, well, when I've done things like that, as far as like giving a talk in a parish or, you know, things like that, I think there is a value to doing the same thing I do in the class, in the university at a different level, because it connects to the experience of the young people who are playing. And then connect it in ways that are intelligible to them or their parents. to, you know, spiritual life, and just a simple thing, actually, you know, especially if it's team sports, which are the most popular sports in America, even though we're considered an individualistic country. But if it's a team sport, just the experience of a young person, you know, developing their own skills, bringing their best self to the team, the practice, but doing it in such a way that they work together with the other kids and their skills and their, you know, who they are, and in pursuit of a common goal, you know, a shared goal. I think, especially in the United States, maybe because there is a tendency to go in the individualistic direction, that this is an important kind of human, you know, kind of formation experience. How can I be myself, bring my gifts, my talents, you know, to the group, but do it in a way that I'm working together with others, and we're doing it so that we're in, you know, pursuit of a shared goal. You could say it's an introduction to community. You know, you could say maybe if you have coaches who insist, which I had a lot of, everybody is important. The manager, the team manager, is just as important as the person who scores 20 points in the game and treats everybody that way, and we're all looking out for one another. Young person can be introduced to the notion of the common good, you know. But the other thing, so Csikszentmihalyi uses the terms differentiation and integration, and he's influenced by Teilhard de Chardin, the Jesuit scientist, in this regard. And that, so by that he means differentiation would be, okay, what are my unique skills and talents and gifts, and I, you know, and then integration would be, and how am I working together with the others as we're pursuing something together. So he is of the view that when those two things are happening at the same time, that's how teams, institutions, societies evolve or grow. That's how they go forward and, you know, become more than they were before. So now I'm very intrigued by this as a Christian, because there's an analogy there to, you know, what we talk about, different gifts, same spirit, you know, or what happens at Pentecost, you know. So there's many parts, one body, that it can be a kind of introduction, maybe for a young person too, to that dimension, you know, of reality, of living the Christian faith. You know, and the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for some benefit. You know, you have something, but you're part of the body. You know, you're part of the shared story of salvation, redemption, new life. And so how can you become fully who you are, use your gifts, your skills and talents, such a way that builds up the body and, you know, and can move out into the world in a way that's healing and gives new life. And so.
Well, that's a beautiful end here, Pat. I really appreciate the way that you've drawn that idea of sport and the community of believers together and drawn that parallel, and that parallel working in some ways both directions as and could work through youth sport, that we're all tempted as sport people by the possibilities of sport. And we also know what's often left on the table. And so it does bring a ton of value for you to go out into your parishes and to talk to people. I notice with each new generation of parents, a lot of the same questions that they're wrestling with, and maybe in a slightly different context, but a lot of nods and reassurances that it's easy to start making decisions based out of fear or market, as you describe. And it's just reassuring to hear someone with your wisdom try to bring that message to each new group that has to wrestle with it. We thank you for spending a little time with us. You mentioned a book that's coming out. I want to give you a chance to just mention that or anything else that you'd like to share before we close it out.
Yeah. I wrote a book, came out last year. It's called Play, Sport, and Spirit. And some of what I've talked about here is in that book. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Pat. Great to see you. And hopefully we see you again in person sometime soon.
That would be great. Isn't it wonderful to be with you guys?
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sport, faith, life.